Yes, again, as Lavieru mentioned, mobile devices are getting way more important these days, and that's also why these devices are getting better and better protected by their developers. To talk about how that protection has come into play, we need to take a step back and go back into history. We are going to start with the basic Alice and Bob example, and that's just a slight recap. We'll fly through this. But encryption and how does it work? Now, or better yet, where does it come from? To start off, we have Alice and Bob, and that's in encryption terms the only way you're allowed to explain encryption. You have Alice who wants to send a message over to Bob, and normally you would just send that message over any medium that you like, being a letter or being the internet. You would just send over the message. But in these days, and even back in the days before computers, we had people reading those messages. So encryption was thought of as a solution so that people could safely send messages from one another without the fear of anyone knowing the content of the message. There we go. Come back. So what did we think about? We thought about an encryption algorithm, and I'm not going to go into any details about how encryption algorithms work, but in basic, we have Alice still sending the message. Except before sending it over the medium, Alice adds a key and an encryption algorithm, and the message is then encrypted. So once it reaches the attacker or anyone who tries to read the message, they receive ciphertext. Ciphertext is basically rubbish. You can't do anything with it. So effectively, even if the man in the middle receives the message, he can't read it. And for Bob, it goes the same. He has to reverse the message into the message that he wants to read, meaning that he also puts the message through an encryption algorithm. He adds a key, very important, and then he can read the message, being assured that no one has read the message while in transit. Now, the basics of encryption also are very important to remember that you have three basic components. You have the message, you have the encryption algorithm, and you have the key. Now, looking at the message and the encryption algorithm, once the message is translated into ciphertext, so the encrypted message, we say that both the encryption algorithm and the ciphertext are assumed to be known by an attacker, which means that also all encryption algorithms are open source, so to say. Anyone knows how the encryption works, but is still unable to reverse the encryption without access to the appropriate key. Now, why is this important? The thing is that anyone can think of an encryption algorithm. Back in the Roman days, they had the Caesar cipher, where they would just interchange characters by a character somewhere else in what then was the alphabet. That was, of course, very easy to reverse. Nowadays, we say that if everyone knows the encryption algorithm, knows how that the inner workings of the algorithm are, anyone can try to crack or break it. And by that knowledge, if no one is able to break it, we assume that the encryption is safe to use. One thing here is key management. And key management is something that in security terms is very, very difficult, because I want to send a message from Alice to Bob, but I also need to send the key from Alice to Bob. Now, if there's no way of sending the key in a secure way to Bob, there's no way to know that the message is also safe. And we will get get into that once we talk about mobile devices. But a lot of people think of a key as a four-digit PIN or a password. While actually, the key is a very, very large number. Also, it's just as large as the size of the encryption algorithm. I'm not going to go into any technical details about that, but just remember that the PIN that someone uses on their device or a password that someone uses on their computer is not the same as the encryption key. Also, what's known, at least commonly known, is that once Alice starts using encryption to communicate with like Google or any other online service, we know that these days that communication is encrypted. If you talk about like wiretaps, we know that a lot of communication is no longer visible to investigators because of encryption. The thing what most users tend to forget is that we have a second path of encryption these days, and that's a communication from the user to the device and back from the device to the user. Because mobile devices are so important to our daily life, and the producers of mobile devices also know that it contains a lot of personal information, the producers started using encryption in the devices itself. So basically, as soon as you put your data in a device, say a text message or annotation or anything you put on the device will make sure that it is encrypted before it is stored. And how it's being encrypted, we're going to zoom into that just a bit later. But do remember that the encryption is no longer just being used for sending data from a user to another user, but also from a user to a device and getting it decrypted from the device back to the user. Now, I also mentioned the key management, and keys are generally based on the data that we as a user provide. That's logical, of course, because we want to be able to decrypt the key, so we need a part of the key to decrypt that. It's also important to remember, and again, we'll zoom into that a bit later, but the PIN that you use to decrypt your device is only part of the key. A big part of the key comes from the device itself. So even if I have the key, I also need the device where I need to apply the key to actually decrypt the data that is stored on the device. Now, why is this a problem? This was just basically a big recap. I think most people who have encountered encryption in any case would know that we have encryption and we have keys, and that's a problem for some investigations. But let's zoom into the next part, and things will become a bit more clear.